Good morning. Today's daf in Bamsia is Zion. We are starting today on Vav Amud Beis, towards the bottom of the Amud, and not even towards the bottom, towards the middle of the Amud. And we are in the sugya of Takva Kohen. Takva Kohen, a very popular sugya, and a little bit intimidating. In other words, because so much is written on the sugya, so it gets a lot of fanfare. But when we are going through this Gemara, just al yedei daf, just through the context of the daf, so it's not terribly intimidating. The basic idea of the Gemara is as follows, and that is that we're looking at money in dispute, and what happens when I am tokef? I take the item and I grab the item. So a discussion in the Gemara that we had in yesterday's daf as to whether or not my tkifa, my grabbing of it, is going to make it mine or not going to make it mine. Okay, good. So go back to yesterday's daf and see above. Then, as a secondary question, let's just assume. That we are not right now currently in dispute of an item. And instead of being tokef, if I were to be tokef, so then it would be mine. But I wasn't tokef, but I was makdish. So now, let's assume that had I been tokef, it'd be mine. But I wasn't tokef. And instead, I'm makdish. So does it become mine, yes or no? In other words, and again, I say, does it become mine? Just for clarification, it's not going to be mine. Obviously, I was makdish it. But is it mine in order so that it could be hekdesh? And as the Gemara articulates and expresses this question, we know that when it comes to being makdesh, so misiraso legavoa, so all amiraso legavoa can misiraso lehedja. All I need to do is just simply an amira. A simple verbal articulation is sufficient in order to take something and to move it from my rishus into the domain of the Beis HaMikdash, of hekdesh. So over here, I wasn't tokef, but had I been tokef, it would be mine. But instead of being tokef, and now I'm just going to do an amira, amiraso legavoa, and is that going to be sufficient? In other words, does it now become hektish? Let's see if we could put this question in other terms. Meaning, I don't currently own it, but I am this close. I have the power to own something. I have the ability and the potential to own something. Is that going to be sufficient grounds for me to be able to be maktish something? Good. That's the question that that the Gemara opened up with yesterday. That question started on Vav Amud Aleph on the bottom. To that question, the Gemara said, actually, Maisa Shahaya. There was a masusa, there was a bathhouse. And in the bathhouse, there was a dispute of two people in terms of who the rightful owner of that bathhouse is. One of the possible owners got so frustrated in terms of debate, dispute, a makdish the masusa. He was makdish the bathhouse. The rabbi said, do we go into the bathhouse or not? It may belong to Hektish. If it belongs to Hektish, we can't go in. We're going to be mauled the Hektish. What do we do? So what they did is that they took this question and they literally walked around with this question. They went from town to town, from Rav to Rav, in order to see what would be the din. So we have an item of dispute, in this particular case, the bathhouse. And now one of the disputants is Makdish it. Does it belong to Hektish, yes or no? Good. So that's the discussion that we had yesterday, and hochachos, and we try to bring proofs yesterday back and forth. We had the question of the suffix b'chor, which we discussed yesterday as a proof, and now we're continuing. Amalei Rav Chananya. Yep. Amalei Rav Chananya l'Rabba. So we're in Vav Amud Beis, and we're right in the middle of the Amud, smack in the middle. So, Tain de Masayelach, and I'm going to bring a brisa that's going to be a support, and the brisa goes as follows. Sfeikos. So the brisa over here is talking about a suffix. Now, in a little bit time from now, right? Mark it on your clock about 10 minutes from now. Don't hold me to the number. But in about 10 minutes, we're going to go over what kind of suffix we're talking about. But right now, let's just say a suffix. So suffix nichnasim ladir liasaser. So we're going to take a suffix and we're going to put in the pen and subject to ma'aser behema. So we know that every annually Rosh Chodesh Elul machlokas the first mission of Rosh Hashanah. But Rosh Chodesh Elul, what we're going to do is that we're all the animals that are born over the course of the summer, so really the course of the year, just happens to be summertime is when they give birth. So all the animals that were born over the course of the year, so they're going to go into the pen. We're going to count. Every 10th animal is going to be Ma'aser Behemah. Good. Perfect. And now what if I have a suffix? And again, we're going to clarify in just a moment what we mean by suffix. And what if I have a suffix? Put it in the pen, and it's going to be subject to Ma'aser Behemah. Now, so now, let's imagine, Takfo Kohen, that what happens now is that the Kohen has the ability to take it, right? And in Mosim Biyado, and I'm not going to take it out of his hands, so then, Amay Nechnasim Ladir, Nim Sezeb, Potem Mamona, Ben Mamona Shal Kohen. Well, I don't understand. In other words, the Kohen has the potential to take it, which in turn now makes it the Kohen's, which now what you're doing is that you are now relieving nine of your animals with an animal that's not yours. And you can't do that. In other words, you know. In other words, pre-tax dollar, post-tax dollars. How do you pay your taxes? You pay your taxes on money that's yours. So you can't use Cohen's money in order to potter your nine animals. So it must be that despite the fact, even though it's a safek, and even though the Cohen has an ability to take it, so in other words, it must be motzi miyado. We're going to take it away from the Cohen. So the Gemara says, no, if that's your proof. So Abayi says to Rav Chananya, not a proof. We'll say the following, and that is, Kigon Delays Leila Tisha. So the Gemara says, Tisha Vahu. The case under discussion, the Braisa. Now, the Braisa is all but four words. So the truth of the matter is, we're given very little detail of what's happening in the Braisa, what are the circumstances. And so let's suggest the following. And that is that you have nine animals, not Suffolk, and this one animal that is a Suffolk. And manafshach I barcha yuvahu shapika ma'isavi la barcha yuvahu so tisha la bari suri ninhu. So the Gemara says, look, if it's chayiv in ma'isav behema, perfect. And if it's not chayiv in ma'isav behema, also perfect. Meaning, right, it's a suffix. We don't know who it belongs to. Does it belong to you or does it belong to the Kohen? Mi manafshach, it doesn't matter. If it belongs to you, so now it qualifies as number 10 and you're gonna successfully do ma'isav behema. And if it belongs to the Kohen, also fine. Give it to the Kohen. I, Meister Behema, though you only have nine animals now. There's no need for Meister Behema. Maybe that's the discussion. That's the Yukimta over there in the Braisa. So Hadam Rabbi Lav Milsi Hidamri. So Abayi says, you know what? Upon further review and upon further consideration, everything I said, just ignore it. In other words, then I'm gonna and Ditanya. Desfake Alav Bar Yisurihu. And the Gemara says, look, what are we talking about over here? A Safek? And it being subject and eligible to Meiser Behema, Gemara says it just ignore. Meaning, Suffolk is not even eligible for Meiser Behema. How do I know that? So the Sveika by Yisur Laaser. So Miman of Shach. Sorry, let's do that again. Hadar Mar by La Milsi Damre Disfake La Bar Yisur who did none. Okay, here we go. Sorry. Lost my spot. I'm back. Back online. What's happening is the following. I got 10 animals. Let's make this nice and simple. So I got 10 animals. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, went through. And I counted them. Okay. You'll see, by the way, when at the end of Bechoros, when we go through all these cases of Meister Behema, counting to 10 is not as easy. It's not as easy as one would imagine. Okay, good. Fine. So, but, okay, obviously over there, the Mishnah at the end of Bechoros goes through numerous scenarios in which you're going to be struggling with various scenarios. Here, the struggle is as follows. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 went through. Good. You did great. Now you got 5 more to count. Now what happens is that number 5 decides, you know what? I'm going to go back in the pen. So now one of the animals that you counted already jump back into the pen. Oh, that's exciting. Now, why is that exciting? Because that's a counted animal. In other words, then what you are now not able to do is take that counted animal, even though that's obviously here's the chiddush. You haven't gotten to 10 yet. It doesn't matter. In other words, there were 10 that was going to go through, and you counted 1 through 5. So 5 is a manui. It's a counted animal. Now that it goes back into the pen, so what it's going to do is potter all the other animals from the mitzvah of Meister Behema.
Does it matter?
Just one second. Just give me a moment. Like the Gemara over here is a little bit complicated. Let's first go through the Gemara, and then afterwards I'll pause. I'll discuss. So kafatzecha minamunum lesochem kulam paturim. So that's the halacha. Now that's the halacha. Let's wrap our head around the halacha. What's going on? Isa gedachas sveka by yisurei. So laaser mimanavshach. So the Gemara says now, if we're entertaining the idea that suffake does require Meiser Behema. Okay, so what do I have right now? I have one animal that jumped into the pen. Now, any animal now is what? Either a counted animal or a non-counted animal. Now, Tosus, by the way, does discuss. It's an important Tosus. It's an important discussion. We're just not going to have it here in the Daf. This is not the time for it. But Tosus does discuss how many counted animals now are in the pen? One. How many non-counted animals are there in the pen? A lot. So in other words, and so therefore there should be something like bittul, right? So Tosus discusses that. See Tosus over there inside. But our purposes right now, all we get to say and all we have to see is that I have a suffix. I don't know. The animals that are in the pen, it's counted and non-counted. It's a suffix. Now, even so, the Gemara says, if the requirement is to do Meiser Behem on Safek, so then Mimanov Shach, Ibar Chiyuvahu, Shaper Meiser, Vilaber Chiyuvahu, Nifter B'Minyan Aroi. So the Amar Rava, Minyan Aroi Poter. So the Gemara says, so now, just keep going, because either it requires a Minyan, or it doesn't require a Minyan. In other words, we're gonna be fine either way, if in fact a Safek does require Meiser Behema. So Ella, now I'm going to keep reading. I'm going to go back. There's a point that I haven't explained well, but just give me a moment. Ella, my Isach Lamehma, we're now on the top of Zayin Amid Aleph. So Asiri Vada, Merchmana Vela Asiri Safek. Hachanami, Asiri Vada, Merchmana Vela Asiri Safek. Gzeras Hakasov is just simply, this is the rule, which is that when it comes to Meiser Behema is only going on Vadai, not on Safek. It's just a din. So therefore, had it been a Safek, there is no Meiser Behema discussion to even have. So therefore, it must be that Braisa that started off this particular discussion, where we started in today's daf, that I have a Safek and we're gonna do Meiser, so that Safek under discussion is not a Safek. I know that sounds funny, but it has to be. In other words, because we just learned together that if it's a bona fide suffix, no requirement on Meiser Behema. Why? Because that's the din. That's simply the din. So previously in the Braisa that said we had a suffix and you're going to put in the pen for Meiser Behema, that's talking about something which is a suffix, which is not a suffix. Meaning that the Kohen has no rights and ability to take it. It's mamish, it's yours. Well, if it's yours, then what kind of suffix are we looking at? That's an important question. We're going to open that question up in just a moment. But Abaye says, but after I really took consideration of this halacha, that a suffix does not require Meiser Behema, it forces me to go back into look at that original Braisa. Okay, a point that I glossed over in this discussion is this idea of Minyan Aroi. Okay, for our purposes right now, I'm going to continue glossing over it, meaning it's really important, obviously, but it's a Meiser Behema halacha. It is relevant to our discussion, but I'm just acknowledging the fact that I really didn't explain Minyan Haroi. When we get to Bechoros, and Yirtzeh Hashem, and we go through the Meiser Behema halachas in more detail, I'll explain better Minyan Haroi. Okay, but right now, where do we stand right now? So, I have something which is in dispute, right? An item of that's in dispute. And now somebody could do its kifa, and he's makdish it. So does it become hektish, yes or no? So from the Gemara's lengthy discussion over here, it sounds like the conclusion is, no, you can't be makdish it. Can't be. The Kohen now is going to do a tkifa on money that may belong to him. So under that discussion, now does the Kohen get to keep it? Talk for Kohen. So the Gemara's conclusion seems to be no. No. Good. That's the Gemara's conclusion. Over here in the Masifta, he quotes that the Rambam doesn't seem to go with the Gemara's conclusion. Okay, that's obviously something that also is off the daf. Amalei Rav Acha Midiftei Ravina Maisvekos. Okay, so the Braisa that generated this whole discussion, this is just like now a tale to the whole, to this, not the whole saga, but just the end over here. And that is that we had a suffix that went into the pen, and the Braisa told us that what we're going to do is we're going to take off Meiser Behema. What are you talking about? Elam a suffix b'choros. So yeah, Kodesh Amar Chmana Velo Shekvar Kodesh. Now, what kind of suffix are we talking about? Maybe it's a Bechor. Gemara says, what? Maybe it's a Bechor? If maybe it's a Bechor, it has Kedusha. And what do we know? That when it comes to the mitzvah of Meiser Behema, I have to take non-Kadosh animals and sanctify one of them. So in other words, by definition, if it's a suffix Bechor, it's not a non-Kadosh animal. It's a possible Kadosh animal. Okay, so we're not talking about suffix Bechor. Ella, Safik pigeon petur chamor uched Rav Nachman damar Rav Nachman amar Rava baravu yisol sheish lo asaras safik pigeon chamor besoch beis omafri shalem asaras sayin ume asran vehein shalom. So the Gemara says that the safik that we're talking about is petur chamor. Okay, firstborn donkey. Right, I'm sure each one of us has one. So in other words, what do you do with your firstborn donkey? You have to redeem it. Right, the only non-kosher animal where for the firstborn it has kedusha. right? Right there in Parsha's bow at the end of the Parsha. So it has Kedusha, and you have to be, and you have to be poda it. And how are you poda? You're poda b'seh. Okay, and what do you do with that seh? That's a wonderful question, by the way. But is it matnas kahuna? Is it not matnas kahuna? I'll leave that question open ended. But anyway, but in other words, you're poda b'seh v'im lo sifte v'arafto. And if you're not going to be poda, so what you do is you snap the neck of the animal. But regardless, over here, this is a circumstance, this scenario where it's safek petach hamor. So my donkey may or may not be delivering its first. And we discussed yesterday, there are numerous ways in halacha where it's a safek. Okay, again, we're not going to go through the details, but it's possible that it's safek petach hamor. So now, does it need a pigeon? Maybe. So, but maybe, in other words, it's a bona fide suffix. So what we'll do is that we will now take the seh and we'll be poded, but we're not sure whether or not the seh actually represents a pigeon, yes or no.
It's not kodesh.
So what it now is, correct. So now what it is that it is a pigeon petra chamor, but you don't have to give it to the kohen. Why? Because for the kohen to come over to you and take it, he needs the definitive proof that it belongs to him. Right. Oh, good. And amotzi mechaver olav haraya. So here's a situation where I have now all these sheep. I have 10. It's rather remarkable how this happened on 10 occasions. But I now have 10 sheep that each one of them was redeemed for safek petach hamor. Okay, good. And so as a result of that, now what do I do? So I put him in the pen and I'm gonna take Maisa Behema. So so even though the pigeon petach hamor is going to go to the kohen, this one's not because of hamotz mechaver al avaraya. That's the suffix that we are discussing back in the brisa. Okay, good.
There should be no problem to make masodeh. It's not kodesh.
Correct. That's exactly the point. Okay, good. My havilav de masusa. The Gemara says, okay, great. When all said and done, now let's go back to the bathhouse. Yesterday's daf, top of avam and beis. So took us to a case, an actual case. Again, we went over this in the beginning of Shir today. There was a bathhouse. Two people were disputing who, in fact, is the owner. And one of them says he's going to be makdish the bathhouse. Does it have kedusha? And again, it's a predicate of the question of, well, if he were tokes, so it belongs to him. So now he wasn't tokes, but he was makdish. Okay. So does it now have kedusha, yes or no? So this discussion went through half of yesterday's daf and now a section of today's daf. But we never arrived at a solid conclusion. The Gemara says, my havi Allah. And every time you see those words, my havi Allah in the Gemara, so that's the Gemara is basically signaling, can we stop discussing and can we conclude? Okay, so the Masusa. So my havi Allah, the Masusa, Tashma, Damar, Rav Chia, Baravin, have a uvda bey Rav Chista, v'Rav Chista bey Rav Huna, u'pasha meha Damar, Rav Nachan, kol mamun, shein yachol otziya b'dayanim, hiktishu enu kadosh. So the Gemara says, okay, we're going to rely on a statement by Rav Yochanan, which is that if I cannot extract an item via Dayanim, so then Hikdishu Enu Kadosh. So then I can't be Makdashit. So that means to say that according to Rav Yochanan, what is ownership going to be a predicate of? Ownership is a predicate of my legal ability to take it. Legal ability meaning via Dayanim. So if I can go to court and I can take the item via court, meaning it's rightfully mine, but I need judges to help me. I need law and law enforcement in order to help me get the item, take the item, so then good. So then, in other words, according to Rav Yochanan, that is sufficient grounds of ownership where I can be makdish the item.
What means talk for it?
Huh?
So what means talk for it?
So, I'm not understanding.
Talk for it. Grabbed it, right?
Okay, no, the Gemara wants to know what's the story with the Masusa. Right, and the Gemara is poshit now from Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan now is making, this is the first time we're hearing this. Rav Yochanan says that in order for you to be able to be makdish something, so I have to have the legal ability to take it via Dayanim.
The other guy who also says that the bathhouse belongs to him.
Oh, good. So in other words, what the Gemara is effectively answering, what the Gemara is effectively saying is, in this case, it doesn't have Kedusha.
Right.
Okay, good. In other words, this masusa is in dispute. Each one of them now has claims, and so therefore it's not rightfully mine. Okay, good. So the Gemara says, Ha, Yacholatzi Abadiyanim Hikdisha Kadoshaf Agavdalo Afke. So the Gemara says, that's so interesting. So here's what I'm hearing, meaning I'm listening carefully, And I'm hearing now that according to Rav Yochanan, if I could be motzi b'dayanim, so I could be makdish. What? What about the statement that we hear from Rav Yochanan time and again throughout Shas?
Where's the first statement of Rav Yochanan that they're now contradicting? I see Rav Nachman, I see all kinds of names, I don't see Rav Yochanan anywhere. It's just assuming because he was the Morad Eretz Yisrael, that's why.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Oh, I'm sorry, it's coming via Rav Nachman. Okay, no, you're... Point taken. I'm sorry, you're absolutely correct. It's Rav Nachman who made the statement of Yacholot Tzir B'dayanim. And on that, the Gemara now is going to have a difficulty with the statement of Rav Yochanan. Okay, very good. So, how Yacholot Tzir B'dayanim Mikdisho Kadosh Avagav Delo Afke V'amir Rav Yochanan Gazav Olin Siyashu Abalam Shneim Enim Yichol Nakdisho Zeh Lefi Sheinu Shalov Zeh Lefi Sheinu Bereshuso. Gemara says, okay, but we have Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan taught us this, to this time and again throughout Shas. And that is that somebody steals an item from me. Okay? Who is the rightful owner? Of course, the answer is me. I'm the nigzal. I'm the victim. He stole the item from me. He's the gazlan. I'm the nigzal. So the item is mine. If we went to court, what's the court going to do? You know what the court's going to do. It's going to award me the item. Okay, good. Now, Rav Yochanan says, now let's say that while it's in the hands of the gazlan, I want to be makdish it. Is it mine? 100%. Of course it's mine. Okay. Can I be makdish it? Rav Yochanan says, no, absolutely not. No, absolutely not. In order to be makdish something, I need two things. It needs to be shalom, it needs to be berushuso. Shalom needs to be mine. Is it mine? Yeah, absolutely. Is it berushusi? No, it's not berushusi. Right now, the Goslin's got it. Okay, so now I'm confused. Meaning, Rav Nachman made the statement that as long as you can be motzi b'dayanim, I can be makdish it. The Gemara says, okay, but that's Rav Nachman, and now we just learned Rav Yochanan, and they don't sit well together. So me, as far as b'masusa metalta naskina, b'masusa mekarki askina, d'chiyacholot se b'dayanim b'rushusa kaimei. So the Gemara says, okay, I'll give you a chiluk. You want a chiluk? And that is that the masusa under discussion was karka, it's not metaltalan. Okay. Yesterday, if you probably replay the tape, I probably said when we went through the case of the masusa that it's karka, not metaltalan. It sounds now from the Gemara that wasn't the havamina. Meaning up until now, we have been thinking maybe not that it's karka, but the bathhouse was something that you can just pick up and walk away with. Okay.
Rabbi Yochanan, I guess his decree or whatever his was based on stolen property, though, right? Wasn't it?
Clearly, he says it. That's what he says. Okay. Yeah. So the Gemara now makes a distinction between property and movables, karka and metaltalin. You see, when Rabbi Yochanan made the statement about gzela, so Rabbi Yochanan was talking about metaltalin. And so by metaltalin, so now what do we have? Somebody steals something from me, so now I have a deficiency. Something's missing. It's shali, but it's not birshusi. Oh. So that's why I can't be makdashit. But when it comes to karka, somebody steals it from me. So as long as it's mine and I can just simply go to court and get it back, so we have no problem to be makdashit. Why? So because it's mine and it's birshusi. Why? Meaning didn't the gazan steal it? Oh. This goes back to the end of Baba Kama. What did we learn at the end of Baba Kama? Karka ina nigzelis. Now, it's a machlokas tanaim, admittedly, but the halacha is karka ina nigzelis. So, in other words, that gazlan who gazlaned, so even though he forced me out of my property, but he does not have any kinyan nigzela, so it's shili and it's berishusi. So as a result of that, so now I have every right to be makdishin. Okay, good.
This bath, everybody was able to use it.
No, it's a private entity.
You can't. Once the rabbin uses it, like a
bathroom. No. Sorry. We're not talking about a public bathhouse. It's a private entity. Somebody owns it. Who the owner is? They're fighting. Okay.
I guess with Talis, though, each person can say that they have possession of it.
No, they can't say either. They do or they don't.
Well, they're both holding it.
Good.
Yeah.
Perfect. Okay. Ad Khan takes us to the end of our first discussion of today's daf. We can pause for just a moment. I could breathe. If I had any coffee left, I'd take a sip, but we're done already. No. God bless you. Okay, but let's take a moment now. So we just covered it. It happens to be a particularly difficult sugya, as we already pointed out in the beginning, and that is that my ability to take something, in other words, right now it's an item of dispute, and my ability to take it, so now what can I do with that item that I could be tokev? So can I be makdishit? Yes or no? And the Gemara says it's really, it's subject to a lengthy discussion. The item was kicked around. There was actual case study. There was a bathhouse in dispute who the owner was. One of the two disputants actually was makdish it. Does it have kedusha, yes or no? And ultimately, what the Gemara says is no. In other words, it seems to be the Gemara's conclusion is that your ability to be tokef is insufficient. In order to be makdish something, so you have to be the lawful owner. Not only do you have to be the lawful owner, the Gemara's conclusion certainly seems to be that you have to be more than just a lawful owner. It also has to be currently in your possession. Somebody steals an item from you, a gazan takes something from you. And although you are the lawful owner, he is not the owner, but because of his kinyan egzela, so even though it's yours, it's not berushuscha. And therefore you can't be makdish. That's Rav Yochanan. What about Rav Nachman, who said that what you could do is that you can you could be, as long as you could be motzi b'dayanim, you could be makdish? That's talking about karka. Okay, good. That seems to be the Gemara's conclusion. We now move on. Now, by moving on, I mean we go back. Meaning here we go back to our Mishnah. So Tani Rav Tachlifa Bar Mar Rava Kamei Rabbi Abba Shneim Adukim Betala Zenotol Ad Makom Shiyad Magas VeZenotol Ad Makom Shiyad Magas VeAsher Cholkim B'Shave. Okay. So at this point in time, now we're on Daf Zion. So you would think that we would, at this point in time, know how to go ahead and split a talus. I'm holding an end, you're holding an end. How do we split it? Chokin. Okay. You would think that we are now experts on this. Not yet. And that is that we're going to be learning a brisa. We just learned the brisa. I just read it. And the brisa says, here's how we're going to split it. Okay. And that is that what we're going to do is that you're going to be holding, I'm going to be holding. Whatever you're holding is yours. Whatever I'm holding is mine. Anything that is unheld is now going to be split evenly between the two of us. Which means now that let's say I'm throwing out numbers just for consideration. Let's say I'm physically holding 30% of it. You're physically holding 10% of it. Great. So that 30% already is mine. That 10% is already yours. But now there's 60 that is unheld. That's going to be split 30-30 between you and me. Which obviously by the end of the day means I get 60% of the total. You get 40% of the total. Good. If you like those numbers. I just made them up. But that's how it's split. Now, a couple things over here. First of all, Machulei Rabbi Avu Vishua. So Rabbi Abahu says, he signals with his fingers. Right? Rashi says he points up to Shemayim. Wait, one second. In other words, when we say that you're going to split it, don't forget about the Shvuah, meaning that's the first Mishnah Bav Metzia, right? Chokim B'Shvuah. Okay, good. So number one, a Groysa Yeshakolach, but just make sure that you remind everybody with a Shvuah. Good. Reminded. So Elamas is in Diktani de Palgib Adade Velok Tani Zenoto Amakam Shadam Agas Hechimishkachala. And now perhaps you're wondering, that's not what we learned in our Mishnah. Meaning our Mishnah, our opening Mishnah here in the Masechta tells us that when I'm holding and you're holding, what do we do? 50-50. The Mishnah did not utter a word about, hey, where's his hand and where's my hand? So how did you understand, meaning as much as we understand this halacha, by the way, the Braisa, I didn't make this point clear, please allow me to do so. Meaning the Braisa makes all the sense in the world. Meaning that whatever I'm physically holding, I'm a muchzak. Meaning that's mine. And whatever you're physically holding, that's yours. Now we are arguing about the unheld portion. Good, that unheld portion is divided 50-50. But it really does make sense. The problem, of course, now is that that's not what we learned in the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, Amar Papa, Ditfise Bikar Kashta. So the Gemara says, the Mishnah? Mishnah is giving, we're giving a kimta in the Mishnah. And what am I doing? I'm holding the fringes. The fringes. Meaning that I'm not holding on to the actual garment itself, but rather, I am holding on to the garment, but only about the fringes of the garment. So in other words, now the garment is, on one hand, being pulled by me and pulled by you. We are having a tug of war, but because my physical hand is not on the actual physical garment itself, only on its fringes, and same by you, so now what we get to do is we get to take the entire talus in total and split it 50-50. That would be the Ukimta and the Mishnah. Amr of Mishar Sheshmamina, Hai Sudra, Kevin de Tafis Be Shalosh Shalosh, Karina Be Venas and Lareo de Command de Pasik, Dami Vekani. So the Gemara says, okay, now that we're here, so let's do a little bit of Kinyan Sudra. Okay? In other words, we're going to take that which we just learned and apply it. So first of all, Kinyan Sudra. So Kinyan Sudra is a way of making Kinyan. And that is that we're going to take an item of value and it's going to be symbolic. And what I'm going to do is I want to sell you a car. We want to concretize the sale. So the handing of the keys would be great, right? In other words, there are many ways in which you could do a kinyan. I was going to joke, you could lift the car. That's obviously silly, but in other words, you could do kinyanim, but you could also do a kinyan sudar. And that is that by me handing you any item of value, usually it's a handkerchief, hence it's called the kinyan sudar. So now what we have done is that kinyan sudar concretized the sale. That created the kinyan. And how do we know it? We know it from the end of Sefer Rus. Good. So how much of the sudar do I not need to physically hold? This is just really a detail within the halachas of kinyan sudar. So what I need to be holding is shalosh shalosh, right? A very small portion, 3 by 3 etzbaos, is all I need to do. In other words, how do I know that? Because we just learned together that once I have a holding in a talis, so whatever I'm holding is mine. So over here, in order for there to be a tfisa for kinyan sudar, all you need is the smallest significant holding, gimel gimel. Okay. Moving on. So im yachol lenatko ulavia soin megureshes v'imlav megureshes. So the Gemara says, okay, but I am going to be bothered by a halacha that we learned by getting, and that is that when you give a get, there can be no strings attached. Most of the time throughout the Masechta, when we say you give a get without strings attached, what we really mean is no conditions. Okay, here it actually means a physical string. And what's it called? This is abusive to say the least, but what he does is he gives her a get, but he's got a string attached to the get, so he hands it to her, and what does he do? He pulls on the string. Okay. It's abusive. Anyway, but we are well past the emotion. We're over here, we're just looking at the halacha, and the halacha is it's not a get. It's not a get because, well, I don't want to give it away. I take it back. I'm going to give it away. It's not going to be a get because a get, by definition, needs krisus. In other words, it has to be that she is going to be given a get, which signifies severance, and the get itself also has to be string-free. In other words, without physical strings. So the Gemara now wants to know, but wait one second, we have just spent a good solid couple of minutes going over this halacha, that once you're holding on to something, it's yours. We learned it by Talis, we learned it by King Siddur. So you're holding on to something, it's yours. So she's holding on to the get. He's got a string, who cares? Who cares? She's holding on to the get. Doesn't that make it hers? So the Gemara says, no. Hasam, krisus beinan v'lekam. Hacha nesina beinan v'aika. So the Gemara says, okay, by get, you have a special halacha. And the halacha is yini krisus. Meaning, can we say the get's hers when she holds on to it? Yes, we can. But it doesn't satisfy the requirement of get, because get requires, by definition, a krisus. So that's why if he has a string and he can pull on the string and the get will go back to him, so it's a deficiency, not in kinyan, but it's a deficiency in get. Amar Rava, one more halacha in terms of the splitting of a talis. Amar Rava, im haisa talis musefes cholkin. Now, let's say special talis, really special talis. Okay, so what does the talis have? It has woven gold through the talis. Not all of it, but in other words, a section of it is woven gold. So beautiful. So what we're going to do now, obviously the gold is the priciest part of the talis. So what we're going to do is we're going to take that and also divide it right down the middle. So the Gemara says, okay, pshita. The Gemara says, yeah, I kind of figured we would do that. I need a special halacha. I need Rava to teach me that. So hanami pshita. So the Gemara says, well, maybe the gold is right there in the middle. So the Gemara says, okay. And once again, it's pashut. So lotzricha the mikra of the gabichad. Ah, beautiful. The case is as follows, and that is that I'm holding the talis, you're holding the talis, and it happens to be the atara is proximate to one of those two. Ah, nice gold atara right in this talis, and it's proximate to one of the two. So now the one who is closer, right, his hand, he's not physically holding the atara, I would imagine. If you're physically holding the atara, that's yours. But in other words, you're holding a section, but the atara is closer to you. So now you get to get half of it, and you get the half with the atara, right? Gemara says no. So mao detema d'amrele plog hachi kamash malan d'amrele my chazis de paga hachi plog hachi. And so the Gemara gives us a yesod. It's really a fantastic yesod. And that is that on the part that's not held, so I'm a 50% shareholder you're 50% shareholder. Now, what we're not going to say is that you have the exclusive right to decide which shares are yours and which shares are mine. You cannot do that. In other words, we are the unheld portion is an entity of which we are going to be dividing evenly 50-50. And obviously the division is going to be an equitable division because it's not the pshat that you own the 50% that's closer to you. It's that you own 50% of the unheld. Period. Period. Okay.
One will not
the two,
right?
Huh?
Value and
right, correct. Okay, beautiful. Okay, Adkan, that takes us to the first half of today's daf. Okay, Tana Rabbanan. Okay, we are now going to do this all over again, but in other words, we're going to move beyond a garment. Okay, the first mission of the Masechta, a good portion of today's daf, so we talked about the splitting of a garment. Okay, now let's move past that. Okay, lender, borrower. Now, we all know how a loan works, by the way. It's pretty straightforward in halacha. And that is that what's going to happen is that someone wants to borrow money. The lender wants to make sure that he's going to get paid back when he lends the money. So a note is going to be written. That note is going to be written. Normally, it's going to be written by a sofer. Although in a couple minutes from now, we'll talk about the lover can write the note himself if he'd like to. But normally, the note's going to be written by a sofer. Right back in the good old days, not everyone had the ability, the capability of writing. Fine, so we would just simply commission a sofer. Just as a detail, by the way, the lover would be paying for that for the sofer. The lover is the one who's benefiting anyway. And now that note is going to be signed by two witnesses on the bottom that this loan originated on this day for this amount. It's due at this time. All the details of the loan. Now what's going to be happening is that note is going to be held by the malva. The malva now is going to be holding the note, and at the conclusion of the loan, so the malva is going to be knocking on the lover's door with note in hand. Okay, it's time to pay me. Good. And now with that note, obviously, that is going to be his proof in which he is in fact owed the money. I know all I'm saying is pashut. I know it's straightforward. But as you'll see over here, this becomes important because here's now what's happening. So what's happening is that lender and borrower are coming into court. And what are they both doing? Holding the note. Oh, beautiful. Beautiful.
Good visual.
Okay. Now, one other detail that I failed to add, which is important, is the following, and that is how does the loan conclude? The loan concludes with a transfer. In other words, what the borrower is going to do is pay back the loan. What the lender is going to do is he's going to give the borrower the note. Now, what should the responsible borrower do at that point in time? So what he should do is, to the best of his ability, to destroy the note, burn it, tear it up, right? Flush it down the toilet. You understand. In other words, destroy it, because obviously that note could be taken and used by somebody who is doesn't have a conscience about him, that note could be reused if it's in circulation. So what the borrower wants to do is he wants to destroy it immediately. Okay, good. Now that we're here, now that we're all set up, so let's go. And that is now is that they're both coming into court, the borrower and lender, and they're holding the note. What do we do? So now the malva comes into the court and he makes a simple argument, which is, it's mine. Yes, right, I dropped it. I know, but I ran back and I picked it up. It's mine. Okay. Alova Amar. So, Shalchahu Uparati Lacha. Yeah, it was yours. Meaning, I'm not disputing the fact that the note once upon a time was yours, but it no longer was yours. I.e., I paid it, in other words, what you're doing is wrong. In other words, you're taking a note that once was yours, but you paid it. You handed the note back to me, and now you're just simply being not a good person. Where you now grabbed it on the note, and now we're here in court. So uparati lacha. So he's kai mishar bechosmav diver Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Amar Yechlokum. Okay, so what's going to happen? What's going to happen? So we have two opinions over here in the Braith. So we have Rabbi and Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Start with Rabbi. Rabbi says he's kiyam ashtar bechosmav. So now what we're going to do is we're going to do kiyam ashtar. Kiyam ashtar is a discussion extensive in the second parak of Psuvos. Kiyam ashtar is notarizing. Okay, I say notarizing. They're not exactly the same, but it's very similar. Okay, so in other words, what they used to do back in the day, it was a security measure. in which once you have a note signed by two witnesses, the note is locked and loaded. However, in order to try to prevent fraud, so what the Chachamim did is that they had a requirement of notarization. You can only go ahead and claim a note, even though you're the lender, even though you have a note, even though it's signed by two witnesses. But what you have to do is you have to go to court and you have to have it notarized. How do you have it notarized? There are one of three ways in which you could do so. Right? I'm giving you a lot of information, probably too much. But one way in which you could do so is you could have the witnesses come to court and just simply say, that's our signatures. What then the court is going to do is that they're going to go ahead and actually sign off on the note. We, the Beis Din, now have heard directly from the Edim. Good. That's one. Two is you can have other witnesses go ahead and testify that we recognize these signatures. Three is that you can have another note, which is already notarized, compare it to this note, and that's a third way of notarizing. So, okay, fine. Anyway, this is what's called Kiyam HaShtar. And once you're Mekayim the Shtar, now you have the ability to collect. So according to Rebbe, what we're going to do over here is the following. I have the Malv and the Lova holding on to the note. So Lefi Shitas Rebbe, what we're going to do is Yikayim HaShtar B'chos Malv. We'll do Kiyam HaShtar. And then what? And then we're going to have the Malv just simply go ahead and to collect.
Why?
Okay, good. Right, that's the right question. And Rav Shimon Gamliel Amar Yachloku. And Rav Shimon Gamliel says no. In other words, okay, over here, what are we looking at? We're looking at the first mission, Bam Metzia. Two people are holding an item, each one claiming it's theirs. So what we're going to do is we're going to divide. So over here, I know it's a little bit unusual because the note itself is not the item of value. It represents value. But who cares? So what? In other words, right now, to the Malva, it represents its face value. To the Lova, it represents its full face value. So what we're going to do now is simply take it and just simply divide it between the two. Okay.
I suppose it's impossible that this is the true solution of the problem.
I mean, okay. I hear you.
So the towels they could have ripped together here, it's a compromise.
It's an excellent distinction. I hear you. It's an excellent distinction. Okay. So, now, Nafali Adayin Lo Yitzi Olam is Rebbe Yossi Amar Harei Becheskaso. Now, let's say Nafali Adayin. Where's the note been found by? A dayan. The Gemara in just a moment is going to ask the question, why do I need a dayan to find it? In other words, isn't the important part over here? It's just a third party. It's not the two principals. Anyway, nafali adayan lo yotzel lamis. So at that point in time, what we're going to do is just simply hold it indefinitely. Achi yavo aliyahu. So Rabbi Yossi amar arei b'cheskaso. And Rabbi Yossi says, no, it's b'cheskaso. In other words, it's a good note. And we're going to give it back to the lender. Okay. We'll dissect that also as well. Amar Mar. So let's go back to case number one. Case number one in the Braisa, now we're talking about a note. And what's happening is that the two of them are coming into the court. Two of them meaning lender and borrower holding onto the note. Obviously each one claiming it's theirs. So Amar Mar. So So the vigabile malvakule, let me do proper inflection. So and what? Meaning, according to Shita's Rebbe, you're going to let the malva go ahead and collect the full face value of the note? Like, are you kidding? Meaning, first mishnah bab metzia. We've been spending a week now on this mishnah. Okay, so shnayim oxen. So in other words, yachloku. What's going on with Shita's Rebbe? So Amar Rav Nachman ben Mikuyim Devar Kol yachloku. So now the Gemara quotes B'Shem Rav Nachman. Here's what we're going to say. If the Shtar is Mekuyam, so in other words, it is not only a good note, but it's already been notarized. The note is locked and loaded, okay, if you will. And so now it really is not only represents money, but it's totally collectible. At that point in time, if both of them are holding on to it, it's really no different than Shtayim Ochzim Betalos, and therefore Yachloku. And divrei hakol, and there's not going to be a machlokus between Rebbe and Rav Shimon Gamliel. Good.
But the borrower claimed that he paid it, right?
Perfect. Yeah, so and the lender says that he, and the lender's claim is that the money has never been paid. So we are now we're at a stalemate, and they're both holding on to it. Shnayim ochzim betalos.
But the borrower says he lost it.
Perfect. They're both holding on to it. They're both holding on to it. Shaim Ochs and Batals. I understand. Okay. So keep Ligi Bishena Mekuyam. So the Gemara says, okay, And the machlokes now between Rebbe and Rebbe Shimon Gamliel is going to be much more subtle. And that is, we're talking about where it's Eina Mekuyam. And over here, just we're going to add a detail. Right, Rashi on the bottom of the Amud points this out. And that is that this is a handwritten note. The Lova was the one who actually wrote the note. So the I Mekayim Le Palig, the Ilo Mekayim Le Lo Palig. Now, according to Shitas Rebbe, so if you're Mekayim, it's going to be divided. And if it's not going to be Mekayim, it's not going to be divided. Why? My time. So Chas Babamahu. In other words, over here by a handwritten note. So over here now, who can inject it with any kind of validity? The only one right now that can inject it with any kind of validity is going to be the Lova. Meaning that the Lova right now is the one who is going to claim that he in fact wrote the note. At the very same time now, the Lova is also making the claim that he paid it. So that is now why, according to Rebbe, so Yizkayim Shtar B'chos Mav, meaning that because the case under discussion is that the note was not notarized. In fact, it was a handwritten note written by the Lova, and the Lova now has the ability to go ahead and credit it. As much as he can credit it, he can also discredit it. And that's why it's going to be an uncollectible note.
But the validation of the note should not be germane because the borrower himself agrees that there was a loan, but he's saying he paid it.
Okay.
So he's not disputing that this was an invalid note. He's just saying that I paid it and I'm holding on to it.
Correct. But but the note is still physically there. There is a note.
But how does verifying the validity?
Because without verification, you can't collect.
No, but the thing is. But that's not in dispute. The guy, the borrower agrees that is a valid note, but he said, I paid it.
Right. But again, it needs to be validated. It needs to be verified. And over here, it's a handwritten note, and the verification is going to be done by the borrower. So since he can credit it, he can also discredit it. Okay, just, I know. Rav Shimon Gamliel, Savar Moda B'Shtar Shekas Rein Tzarech L'Kaimo, Afag Avdala Mekayim L'Yachloku. And Rav Shimon Gamliel happens to be of the position that once he's acknowledged that he in fact wrote the note, so at that point in time there is no requirement of Kiyam Ashtar, and now the note is locked and loaded, and therefore Yachloku, therefore it's going to be divided. Okay, so effectively what the Gemara basically has done is that it significantly limited Machlokas number one of the Braisa. We're holding on to Ashtar. What do I do? So now where we stand is, under most circumstances, Yachloku, it's going to be divided. Meaning as long as the note is a collectible entity, so basically we're holding on to an item of value. I know it's not intrinsic value. It only represents value, but so what? It's an item of value, and like Shneim Ochsin Batalis, Yachloku. Good. And there's a machlokus in the Braisa between Rebbe and Rav Shimon Gamliel, an extraordinarily detailed machlokus, right, we're talking about a handwritten note where now who is eligible to go ahead and do verification. Can the Lova verify it? Yes or no, if he can. So he can credit, he can discredit that Shitas Rebbe. According to Rav Shimon Gamliel, no. Once he acknowledges that he wrote the note, no longer is it required subject to Kiyam Ashtar, no longer need Kiyam Ashtar, and now Yachloku. Okay, good. Adkan, that takes us through the first part of the Braisa. Let's just go a little bit further. Oh, music's going to start. Nafa liyad dayin lo yotzei olamis. So now, what if it is found by the dayin? The Gemara says, Maishna liyad dayin, as we are on the top of the Amud Beis. The Gemara starts off with a really simple question, meaning in case number two in the Braisa, I need a dying to find it. What's more significant is that it was found not by the Malva, not by the Lova. So Amarava Hachi Kamar, the Rava says, you're right, excellent point. We're going to say the following pshat. And that is, the acher, shematza shar shenafa liyad dayan, ve'echidami dikasa be'henpek, lo yotzi olamis. So, if a third party found it, and Biyadayan, liyadayan just simply means, and it was already notarized. It was already brought to court, and it was already notarized. And now, despite the fact that it was notarized, here's the problem. It's not in the hand of the lender, it's not in the hand of the borrower. Somebody picked it up and found it. Zavalami by lo kasa behen pekdik alameimar kasa v'lova v'lova kasa lilvos v'lova ela filo kasa behen pek the mekayim lo yachzid the chayshin lepiron. So the Gemara says, look, if it wasn't notarized, we can make the really simple argument that they drafted the note, but of course the loan never took place. And so if it wasn't notarized, obviously you're not going to give it to the lender and say, here you go. But even if it was notarized, which means that the note was not just drafted. In other words, it was obviously exercised, meaning the loan originated. But now what I have to be concerned about is that the note is not found by the lender, it's not found by the borrower, it's found by a third party. And despite the fact that it was notarized, but here's maybe the story. Story is that there was a loan and the borrower paid it. And now what I'm worried about is that who currently lost the note? Maybe it was a borrower. Rav Yossi, Amar Rebbe Cheskas of Elocheshin Lepiron. And Rav Yossi says, no, on this point I disagree. Meaning if it's a notarized note, so at that point in time, there's only one story I'm ready to accept, says Rav Yossi. And that is that the lender was the one who lost it. This was in the hand of the lender, and he's the one who lost it. So the Gemara says, "V'lochaish Rav Yosef lepiron ba'atayim master shark suva b'shuk b'zman shabal moda liisha ina bal moda lo yachzer lo lozev lo lozev." Rav Yosef Omer, "Oda tachas ba'ala yachzer liisha nisamlo niskarsha lo yachzer lo lozev lo lozev." A lost suva, what do I do with it? And we just learned that according to Rav Yosef, I'll tell you what you do with it. And that is that oda tachas ba'ala, as long as she's married. Right, they're living together. So then what you do is you give it to the woman. If she was divorced or she was widowed, so then you don't return it to either one. So the Gemara says, so what comes out over here is that according to Rav Yossi, you give it to the Malva, right? Ksuva in this case is a woman. Sorry. The Malva in this case is a woman. So you give it to the Malva. So the Gemara says, So the Gemara says, what we're going to do is that we're going to flip it around. So we're going to flip around the first brisa. So nafali adain lo yotzi olam esiv Rav Yosef v'chacham emomer in harei b'cheskaso. Okay. So we flipped around the first brisa. So now we have agreement between brisa number one and brisa number two. And the ihachi kashi de rabbanan. So now, although now we have created alignment within the sheet of Rav Yosef, now the chachamim are off tilt. So the Gemara says, shtar ksuva kula Rav Yosef. The brisa of ksuva did not have two opinions. It only had one opinion. The whole brisa belongs to Rav Yossi. And this is how you read it. And that is, Eina bal modem. So, lo yachzer lo lezev lo lezev. Meaning, we discovered a ksuva. Okay. In other words, it was lost. So somebody picked it up. Okay, good. Who do I give it back to? Do I give it back to the woman or do I give it back to the man? So, if the bal is modem, in other words, the husband says, yeah, right, it's our ksuva, but I just got to tell you that I paid it already. So then I don't return it. But just to clarify, that's only if we're looking at post divorce or post death. But in other words, if they are married, I'll add happily, but it doesn't matter. But in other words, if they're married, so then Rabbi Yossi Omer, I'm sorry. So then yachzer liisha. Then we give it back to the woman. We're not choshesh lepiraon. And Rabbi Yossi, I'm sorry, She Rabbi Yossi Omer, that shin is important, meaning this is all one thread, it's all one opinion. She Rabbi Yossi Omer, Oda Tachas Ba, Lo Yachzer Liisha, Nisam Lo Shin Is Garsha, Lo Yachzer Lo Lezev Lo Lezev. Okay, good. So that's approach number one, that's Mahalach number one, is that the entire Brisa is Shitas Rabbi Yossi. So the only thing we need to do is make Shalom between Rabbi Yossi of this Brisa and Rabbi Yossi of the note, of the lost note. That's all we needed to do. And we did it. And good, and Yeshua Koch. And we're going to pause over here, even though there are two other answers that are given, but we'll go over the two of them tomorrow. Anyway, let's quickly recap, let's review. Okay, right, Tatfa Kohen, what happens now when you have somebody has the ability to take it, and instead of taking it, he's makdish it. So is the item now a Davar Kedusha? Yes or no? So this is the Sugya Tatfa Kohen, started yesterday, ended today. Conclusion of the Gemara seems to be that if you're makdish something that you could have taken, that is insufficient. The item is not a davar kadosh. Brought us to very basic statements of Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan says that a gazlan steals from you, so neither of them could be makdish the item. The gazlan doesn't own it, but the nigzal, right? Which right, Tosus a couple places points out the nigzal obviously is a bigger chiddush. The nigzal can't be makdish. Why? Ain't a berushuso. Right? The big idea in today's daf. And so when something is not Bereshuscha, even though you're the owner of the item, so you can't be Maktishi item. What about the Masusa? So the Gemara says, if you could be Motzi B'dayanim, if you could be Motzi B'dayanim, so you could be Maktishi, the Gemara says that's Karka. So Karka is both yours and it's your and Bereshuscha, even if someone steals it from you. Why? Because Karka ain't an exelus. Good. That was part one of today's daf. Second part of today's daf, right? Zayin Amud Aleph. And that is more details in terms of how to split a talus, right? In other words, everything I'm holding up to is mine. Everything you're holding up to is yours. I, the middle, the unheld, 50-50. Good. What if there's a strip of gold going right through it? That also is going to be 50-50. In other words, because I am a shareholder, I'm not just simply going to take the 50 that's proximate to me. Good. And then the remainder of today's daf, what if we're both holding onto a note? Borrower and lender holding onto a note, what do I do? In other words, are we going to divide it like the Mishnah of Shaimoks and Batalis? The answer effectively is yes. Yes. There's a detail in terms of what happens when they're holding onto a shtar that's an Eino Mekuyim, it was handwritten, a machlokus between Rebbe and Rashim and Gamliel. Okay, a detailed machlokus, but the Etzem Din is that it's going to be divided. What if it's found by a third party? Then what do we do? So we just learned together that according to Rav Yossi, Eino Choshesh Lepiraon, it took us a while to unravel this, but Eino Choshesh Lepiraon, we're not worried that it was paid. So what we're going to do is we're going to hand it back to the lender, Lefishitas Rav Yossi. Okay, I've got it.